You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Joshua Live. I'm Gary Temple Bodley. Today's episode is all about focus. We have this ability to focus on something, and whether that's a passion or interest or something that's going on that we really like, maybe our careers or relationships, when we bring focus and energy to that, the Law of Attraction brings us more of that. When we turn our attention away from what we prefer and we're focusing on what we think is bad or wrong, then the Law of Attraction has to highlight those areas even more so that we maybe get manifestation events or some way that we get to identify our limiting beliefs that's causing us to perceive that thing as wrong. That's what this whole thing is all about. So when you can use your focus to focus on the things you love, you bring more of that. And when you focus on the things you don't like, you bring more of that. So if we can choose our focus and focus on that which is preferable and what we enjoy, then we use the Law of Attraction, obviously, to bring so much more of that in our lives. But it's also about not thinking the things are wrong, looking at all that from the higher perspective, seeing how they possibly could be right. That's how you diffuse your focus on those things. Great. This episode is brand new. We just did it today, which is May 28th. We're going to be starting a new Ascension Experience Alignment segment in June 20th or so, like the third Monday in June. So if you'd like more information on that, send me an email to garybodley@gmail.com. It's $297, and if you go in with a partner, it's $247. We're offering a discount now on the first few ones because we're sort of exploring and figuring it all out. But it's really cool. We have about 80 people in it now, and it's going like gangbusters. Please remember to like and subscribe to this podcast. That's really important. Leave a review, leave a comment, all that great stuff that really helps us out. All right, get ready for today's show and have a wonderful weekend. Bye. We are thrilled to be here.
Welcome, Joshua.
Hi, Joshua.
You're not really living simple lives, are you? You're living a complex experience of physical reality. And those of you who are here now listening to this on this call or a later date, you have to realize that you chose a more complex realm of or complex life to live in physical reality at this time because there's a lot going on here. There's a lot of energy coming in. There's a lot of things to do. There's a lot of things to be aware of. There's a lot of interest to follow. There's technology that allows you to access new information and new ideas. You are not held by any specific ideology or belief system. You're free to choose, pick and choose whatever you like to explore. And by having a complex experience of physical reality, you are open to all kinds of things. But in amongst that is sometimes the perception that things can be overwhelming, that they're too much for you. And in the perception that there's so much going on here, you can get caught up in fears. You can get caught up in things you don't like. You can join movements and push against things that you think are wrong. And all of this is boiling down to the fact that you get to choose your reality. You get to choose what you focus your attention on. You get to create a level of focus that's so intense that anything is possible. And if you're focused on things that you do not prefer, on things you think are wrong or bad, well, you'll be exploring those aspects and you'll be attracting them to you so that you can explore them deeper and more fuller in a more rich, nuanced, and possibly overwhelming way. A lot of you in your past lives have been focused so intensely on the things that you thought were beneficial or good or necessary in order to make you feel like, loved, and respected, worthy of being with other people, worthy of being in existence in physical reality. And so you were exploring the inauthentic version of who you are. Now, as you shift your focus away from all the things that are causing you some grief or some issues or some anxiety, you can let that go. You can actually shift your focus to that which you prefer. Now, what would you prefer? Well, you might prefer that these bad things no longer existed, that maybe they were legislated away, or they were canceled, or they were removed from your perception of reality. And you think that if they were removed from your perception of reality, then it would be so much easier to be in alignment. If the things you didn't like were taken out of your reality, well, then you wouldn't have to worry about them or focus on them. And so you think, by some form of logic, that if they were no longer there, then you could just focus on what you truly enjoy. And we say that that's not really how the system is designed. The system is designed for you, those of you who are more and more aware, to bring you anything you can think of. And so you can research and delve into and stand against certain things you think are wrong or bad in an effort to control those things, or you can let them be. You can let them be and then turn your focus to what interests you, whatever that is. And all of you came with pre-birth intentions. Within those intentions were the things that you wanted to explore in this lifetime. And those things are unique to you. They do not have to appeal to anyone else. You could be very interested in things that no one else is interested in, and you could limit yourself from being interested in those things if you chose that those things were not respected, not appreciated, or not seen as good by other people. In an effort to have other people like, love, and respect you and think that you're a good person, you might shy away from the things that interest you. But those things are what you have come here to explore. And in those things, you will find your passions and interests, and you will be led more easily on this journey of self-discovery, because in following what's interesting to you, what you're passionate about, you naturally move into a state of alignment. You naturally allow your strong focus of attention to be focused on those things in a way that is without distraction, without the distraction from all these other things. Now imagine if you had no passions or no interests, and you were simply moved by what was happening around you, in your society, amongst your friends. Well, you might then choose to use your focus to focus on these things that are wrong or bad, to focus on what's wrong with the neighbors, what's wrong with my family, how could I help these people do better, how could I use this power that I innately feel in my body, in my soul, to help them. And if you're focused on them as if they're doing something wrong or having a hard time, or if you're focused on yourself as if something's wrong about you, well, then you're using your power of focus based in fear. And when you use that power of focus based in fear, you magnify the subject of your fear and you bring more of it closer to you. That's the law of attraction. And it's not a bad thing, because it's bringing to your attention the things that you do not want. It's bringing to your attention what the limiting beliefs are that cause you to see it as bad and wrong. And this is the primary purpose of this whole system of physical reality. If you come in to physical reality and you were taught to believe that some things are good and some things are bad, and you gravitated towards the pushing away of those things that are bad, you then put your focus on those things. You highlight them, you give them energy, and then the law of attraction brings you more of that, more of those experiences, to highlight limiting beliefs, to illuminate those limiting beliefs. Now, if you don't notice that those are limiting beliefs and you just continue to say that that thing is bad and wrong, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and you have manifestation events in those areas. Those areas where you think it's wrong, it creates this possibly self-fulfilling cycle of more wrong, more bad, more this, more that. And then you receive urges to change the conditions. And if you act on those urges to change the conditions, you explore that which you do not prefer more fully. And so if your focus is haphazard all over the place, well, you'll be focusing on what you don't like, focusing on what you do like, back and forth, until something happens to make you realize what you're doing. And in amongst all of that is your desire primarily to discover who you truly are. So you're always being led and guided along a journey of self-discovery. If you can choose to focus your energy on those things that are interesting and fascinating to you, knowing that by focusing your energy on those things, you'll be led easily and effortlessly along this journey of self-discovery, you'll come to lead a very highly effective life. And in that effective life, your energy stream of that focus that's coming from the non-physical through you to physical reality lights up your path, lights up your path so that others may follow where you are going. If you can understand that everyone else is living their experience of physical reality and moving from fear to love and going through the experiences that they intend to experience prior to their birth, whether they are focusing on what they truly want or what they think they want, you can leave them alone to have those experiences, not needing to help them or save them or change them in any way or control them in any way. You can then turn your focus to that thing that lights you up. And in that thing that lights you up is your path of self-discovery. It's part of this whole system. So if you found your passion in life and you're moving along and exploring that passion and noticing all the other interests that revolve around that passion and you're diving as deeply as you can into it and you're not caring what other people think or you're not holding any attachment to the outcome, then you will ascend very rapidly to higher and higher levels of clarity, eventually discovering who you truly are. If you are going back and forth with your focus, focusing on the problems, focusing on the suffering of other people from your perspective, then you are taking yourself off of your path and exploring the inauthentic version of you. Remember, you are here to focus on what brings you joy. You are here to live in this complex life that you have chosen by now streaming your focus of energy only on that which lights you up, that which makes you interested and excited and ready to get up and ready to discover more and more and more about that thing. And along the way, you will finally realize who you truly are. You will then move to another state of being where you can truly be in service of others. And that service is by finding your own alignment. And with that, we'd like to talk to you about anything you'd like to talk about. Who would like to start?
I have a question.
Yes.
My question is about adolescence and why they can bring adults so quickly out of alignment.
Well, do they bring all adults out of alignment?
No, I will say specifically my adolescent or pre-adolescent.
So they might bring you out of alignment.
Yes.
Now, is it them who are bringing you out of alignment? Or is it your perception of them, your perspective, that something wrong or bad is happening, and you then choose to come out of alignment?
Yes, it is. It is the latter. It is a limiting belief. It is a gift. My question, I guess, is like how the gift is so prevalent among all the parents of the kids that age.
If you look at where you're focused in your life and where you have the highest attachment to an outcome, what area of your life would you say that would be most prevalent? The one area where you have the highest attachment to an outcome.
I mean, usually I would say career, but I guess with these manifestation events, I would say my adolescent daughter.
Well,
changing the experience, changing the conditions.
If you looked at it logically, you would say that the happiness of your child would take precedence even over the happiness of yourself. You would also say
I don't know
that
I would say that. Does that make
you
a bad mom?
You also say that. Well, we promise you that this is true.
Okay.
You are connected very deeply to that.
Yes.
You see, the happiness of yourself in relationship to a career is, could you be happy without the career? Is the career the only form or the only substantial thing that will allow you to be happy? And
no.
You would say, of course not, because I'm happy in this area, in this area, in this area, with these people, with these people, and these people. That is just one aspect of my life. And if that's going good, sure, that allows me to be happy. I'll use that as my excuse to be happy. And if my career seems not to be going good, Well, I have a choice to make whether I think that that is the be, end, all, and do of my happiness. Conversely, if your child is unhappy, you might say it is harder for me to be in alignment with the child is unhappy or struggling or going through some difficulty. If only the child wasn't going through difficulty, I could maintain my alignment. But it's the child's difficulty or the issues or whatever the behavior is that's popping up that causes me to go out of alignment. And so therefore, the child is responsible for my alignment. This is the thing that most human parents would say. Animal parents would not say that. Animal parents would see their child learning how to hunt, learning how to walk, learning how to run, learning how to do all these things and saying that experience teaches. You see, the animal child has no language, has no schools. The animal, in relationship to their child, knows that by trying and failing and trying again and having these experiences, that the animal child will learn exactly what to do or will return to the non-physical either way. The human, when the human looks at their child, doesn't see it that way. The human says, the child has to do this, 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 and this, go to school, be good, be proficient, learn how to read, write, talk properly, eat properly, blah, 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 all these conditions in order to satisfy the parent in feeling comfortable with the ascension of the child. The parent isn't always thinking about what the child has intended to experience prior to their birth. The parent isn't really thinking about why the child chose them as a parent, why the child came in at this time, what the child is focused on, or what the child will be interested in the future. The child is here to move from fear to love and has chosen you as the mother. And you can only teach so much through the words alone. As you know, words do not really teach. It's the experience that teaches. And you cannot convey the experience through words. You can say to your child, I've gone through all this before. Listen to me. I know how this works out. And try to explain it to them in words. But the words can't have any true meaning to the child who hasn't had the experience. It's all abstraction. Without the experience, there's no meaning in the words, you see. And so when you say to your child, that's an apple, that's a tree, that's a house, that's a person, that's a mailman, the child has labels for these things, but has no way to understand what an apple is unless it eats the apple, you see? There's no way to understand what riding a bicycle is like unless it rides a bicycle. There's no other way to understand the consequences of falling off a bicycle until the child falls off the bicycle. And there's no way to understand the feeling of getting back on the bicycle and trying again until that experience is had. So you would like to say to the child, I'll just tell you how this all works out. I'll tell you exactly what to do. And therefore, you won't have any obstacles or manifestation events in your way. And you won't get upset. You'll just live in the state of joy, and that will allow me to feel good. But in reality, this is your child's life. And the only way they're going to learn about who they are is to have experiences. And they have adopted limited beliefs, and they have brought in limiting beliefs with them. And to realize that those limiting beliefs are not true or false, just limiting, they have to have the experience that highlights those limiting beliefs. If you were to smooth out their manifestation events, iron them out like you might iron a shirt, get all the wrinkles out, well, they wouldn't have no experience. They'd have words. They'd have the words that you taught them, but without the experience. Imagine that you wanted to explain to your child what Paris is like. You might talk about the Eiffel Tower. You might talk about the Louvre. You might talk about the Arc de Triomphe. You might talk about the cafes and the wonderful food and all these things. But it would fall on literal deaf ears because the child has no context to place this in. And so you may say all these things and you might create a desire possibly for them to experience it. But until they experience it, they have no idea what Paris is or what anything else is. They have to have the experience. So if you can step back and have your, the only attachment you have is to your alignment, how you can stay in alignment and calm and relaxed and understand that everything is always working out perfectly, even when they're in distress. And in their distress, you trying to soothe them or solve their problems doesn't really help, because they have to do it on their own. They have to choose to see things from the higher perspective. And sure, you can do what we do. You can explain the higher perspective and who they truly are and what this realm of physical reality is all about, but they still have to experience it, because this is an experiential platform of self-discovery. So the experience is the most important thing. Now, they will have experiences. They will assume that the experiences cause them to feel something. They will assume that good experiences make them feel good and bad experiences make them feel bad. They will shy away from any possible experience that has the potential to feel bad, like trying something new. And they will gravitate towards experiences that they've had in the past that felt good. This is all fine and well, and it's all creating this trajectory of whatever they're here to explore. And so the more experiences that they have, guess what happens? The more they find what they like and do not like. Now, as a child, they're still going to be focused on pushing away what they don't like and moving towards what they do like in a childlike way. And if they have an experience that they don't like, they may resist that experience or a new experience or something like that in the future. Yet, when they realize, just like falling off a bike, that they can get back on, and the next time they get on the bike, they have more confidence, then they can brave these new things. But the more new things they brave, the more fear the parent's going to have, because this could introduce them to a manifestation event. And in that manifestation event, you will see them resisting the information contained in the event. They will get upset. They will have temper tantrums. They will want to quit. And you will want them to feel good somehow so that you can feel good. Imagine if you could, to some extent, see how this is all playing out. Imagine that you put yourself 30 years in the future, saw how it all worked out brilliantly, and known that every experience that they had led them to the future that worked out brilliantly. Well, that's what would happen if you could go 30 years in the future. You would have enough information that the limiting beliefs that are triggering you now would not be triggered. And in fact, from 30 years in the future, you would desire to go back to today and experience it from that higher perspective. Because from the higher perspective, where it doesn't affect any limiting beliefs, all you could feel is joy. And so coming back from 30 years in the future to the present day with the fully empowering beliefs that you will have at that time, you would experience nothing but joy as they experience these things that cause them to feel resistance. You would giggle and laugh and be delighted in all the little things that are causing them to feel negative emotion. And sometimes you might see that in grandparents. As they come back and they realize, oh, it's just experiences that they need to have. It's not a big deal. It will all work out. Well, all you're doing is you're choosing to see it from a limited perspective, because you're so wrapped up in the day-to-day of your experience of the mother of this. And this is part of your journey of self-discovery as well. And they came in to help you see what your limiting beliefs are as well. Now imagine if you could process those limiting beliefs, allow them to have their experiences, and then be this example of alignment for them to say, wow, mom's not really freaking out about this. Maybe it's not such a big deal after all. Mom's not asking me to be different than I am. Maybe I can get upset and it's no big deal. Maybe I am okay as I am. Maybe there's nothing wrong with me getting upset or going into the experiences and having a hard time. Maybe I can actually tell her anything without fearing what she might think about me. Because she's in alignment no matter what I do. I mess up, I get into an argument, I get into a fight, I fall off my bike. Nothing seems to faze her. She accepts me fully, not only for who I am, but for the experiences that I'm choosing to go through and how I choose to experience those things. That is unconditional love. And that's not for their benefit. Guess whose benefit that's for? Your benefit. Exactly. Wonderful question. Who's next?
Thanks.
Joshua, I'm wondering if you can talk more about finding your passion and the maybe the steps to that, or what it looks like, or what parameters it is, or just how to get started, you know?
Did you have a time in your life when you were a little boy and you were out in the backyard or you were in nature and you were just turning over rocks and you would see these squiggly little worms on the side of rocks and it fascinated you?
Yeah.
Now, your mother may have come out and said, oh, that's disgusting. Or if you brought a worm into the house, what are you doing? Or you're all dirty. Or what's wrong with your hands are muddy? Look, you have mud and dirt under your fingernails. Oh, I'm going to have to wash all this off. Oh, I'm going to have to wash your clothes. Oh, look at your hair. It's all messed up. Because you were out there exploring to your heart's delight what fascinated you at the time. And yet it wasn't up to snuff with someone else. And so they poo-pooed your exploration. They basically did not condone of what you thought was interesting. And they always, always, always guided you to what they thought was productive, was a good subject of discovery. And so think about that. Think about all the things that you thought were interesting that you were turned away from at a young age. And so you adopted the limiting belief that this is a thing that is a proper passion. This is a good passion. This is a good interest. That's a good interest. That's a bad interest. That's a wrong interest. You should not do that. You should. That's never going to make you any money. You're never going to be able to be successful. No one's going to like you if you go off and water bonsai trees all day long. That is not what respectable people in Western society do. Mm-hmm. You should not do that. You should go to school, get a job, buy a house, get married, raise a family, retire, fish in the countryside, and then die. Well, that's not what you chose to do. You chose to come here, and you chose to live that Western-style lifestyle, becoming successful, doing all the things you were told to do, and then realizing it was absolutely unsatisfying. And then you said, well, that's unsatisfying. Must be me. If everyone else in Western civilization is having nice jobs and buying nice houses and having nice families and buying nice cars and boats and taking these vacations, and they're all happy as clams, and I'm not happy as a clam, there must be something wrong about me. And so you led or chose to learn more about physical reality. You acted on enough inspiration to get here now. But in that inspiration is also an urge to change who you are, to be better in some way. And rather than do what we suggest is to accept yourself as perfect from the day you're born to you are now and for the rest of eternity. You're perfect in every moment. Now, if you could accept yourself as imperfect in every moment, then you could be in alignment. And in alignment, you could get inspired to research something, pick up a book, pick up a magazine, meet a person, go here, go there, whatever it is. Yet you're still judging these things that are coming to you. You're still judging the inspiration that comes. You're still saying, that's good inspiration, that's bad inspiration. I don't want to do this. I only want to do this. That's never going to lead to making any money. That's never going to lead to finding love. That's never going to lead to feeling worthy. You're making all this stuff up. If you could simply stand in the moment and say, I understand that I'm perfect as I am now. I don't need to change anything about me. I don't need more money, more time. I don't need to be taller or shorter, fatter or thinner. I don't need anything to be different than it is. I'm going to exist in this state of alignment. I'm going to accept myself, all of the people in my life, and my conditions. And I'm going to think of the most fun and exciting thing I can think of now. And so some idea comes to you and you say, I don't really want to play tennis. And you imagine yourself having to find a tennis court, having to find a tennis racket, having to find a tennis partner, and it becomes overwhelming. You think, that's never going to be fun. I'm not going to really enjoy being out there. I've never really liked tennis in the past. And you're missing the point. The point is not playing tennis. The point is, what's the only thing you can do when that idea comes to you? Mm-hmm. And that might be to walk around the corner to a place that has a tennis racket and walk in there and just look at the tennis rackets. And who knows? Who knows what will come next? But until you walk to that place that might have a tennis racket, you can't get the next inspiration, because the next inspiration is there at that place. And boom, something else comes up. Now, imagine if you said, oh, okay, tennis, that's my passion now. I'm going to go down. I'm going to go look at this tennis racket that's in the store down the street. And you go in there, and then you get a new idea. Maybe it's to get a paddleball so you can play paddleball on the beach, whatever it is. But you say, no, I'm here to do tennis. That's the thing I'm inspired to do. I'm going to put blinders on to any other possible inspiration. And I'm just going to buy this tennis ball, buy this tennis racket, find a place to play tennis, go out there and stand there until I find someone to play tennis with, right? So you tend to think about this inspiration and carry it to the end, rather than just realizing the inspiration is just this one thing you could do now. Let that go. What's the next thing that can happen? If you could do this often enough, and you've done it often enough in the past, when anything has really worked out in your life, it's because you followed a series of inspiring ideas every single time. It's not been possible otherwise. When it didn't work out, when you said, I don't know why I'm doing this, it's because you had this mental image, and then you put yourself, your ideas, in front of the inspiration that was going to come. And like everything else, you said, I have to complete steps 1 to 10 right now in order to get this thing I've now become attached to. Mm-hmm. Well, what's funny about that is 2 days ago, before you had the inspiration to play tennis, you weren't attached to the idea of playing tennis. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, because the inspiration comes to you, you now get attached to that idea, and then you go off on a tangent, and then you wonder why you quit these things. Well, because that was never the passion. The passion can only come to you because you have a set of beliefs that are constructed in such a way that they are very hard to rip off or to process by just thinking. You have to have the experience. Mm-hmm. And so the universe says, we'll send him this inspiration, and then we'll get to a spot. And when he's at that spot, we'll send him another inspiration. And if he takes action, we'll send him another inspiration. But what happens a lot of time is you use your imagination to imagine where this is going to go. And you say, that doesn't sound like fun. And then you stop it and you do something else. And that's fine too. It's just that if you wanted to find your passion in life, if you wanted to discover why you're here and what thrills you about physical reality, it's simply a process of taking one step after another. And with each step, you expand to a new level of awareness and gain confidence. However, if you are trying to drive the car and make these things happen, you're going to get to the end of it, feel unsatisfied, and lose confidence. Because here you are acting and acting and acting, and it doesn't bring you any fulfillment, because you're still stuck with the belief system of the little boy who was told that it's wrong to pick up worms.
Okay. Yep, good. That helps. Excellent. Thank you.
Who's next?
Joshua, I have a question.
Yes.
Hi, Karen. It seems like a silly question to me, but I don't know why it just keeps coming back to me. The idea of creating creating contrast, knowing that it's not real, but I keep thinking about it. I don't
have specific contrast that you want to give an example.
So I keep thinking about creating the illusion of having to ask for forgiveness when I know there's no need.
There is no need.
No.
There's no need to do anything.
Yeah.
You see, there's no need to do anything you don't want to do. There's no need to. But if you're inspired to, if something comes up, if you are given the opportunity, then this is something to explore. Now, there is, since you are perfect, and since you are on a journey of self-discovery, and since this is simply an experiential reality and nothing serious is going on here, you have nothing to forgive, and you will never be judged for anything that you've ever done, ever, except by your human self. The human self is always judging you. Your ego is always judging you. From your limited perspective as an individual human, not knowing who you are, not knowing who you truly are, you have regrets and resentments and worries about the future. You have times when you think to yourself that you said the wrong thing, when you have not acted in love, when you've acted on an urge to change the condition. These times happen every single day, all day long. And so you're living in this sort of bubble of tension between living this as this being of love who you truly are, and then trying to control all these conditions and people in your life, whether it's the shop clerk, your children, parents, friends, siblings, family members, coworkers, employees, customers, anything, right? Any other human being or animal or nature or whatever it is. When you drive your car and you think to yourself, you're using gas and you're putting fumes into the environment, you say, well, I have to drive my car, but you're conflicted because you might feel a little bit uneasy about adding to the pollution in the planet. Well, there's nothing much you can do about it, and no one's ever going to judge you for it. And it's such a small thing, yet in the back of your mind is all this built up resistance for things you can't help do, but yet you judge yourself for doing them. And even though you're living in this bubble of protection, rationalizing all these things that you're doing, you're still judging yourself for them. Now, you may say, well, I was at the store and the clerk was really rude, and so I snapped back at her and she deserved it because she was being rude. And I put her in her place and I solved the problem for all these people behind me who are having to deal with this clerk. And yet, from your higher perspective, you know that this isn't you. Who you are is a being of love. And in that moment, you reacted on an urge to change the condition. Now, it's what everyone else would do. It's logical. It makes sense. It wasn't a bad thing. But you still have to rationalize it in your head. Whether you're doing it consciously or subconsciously, there's still this tension, this inner conflict going in. I am a being of love, and yet I'm acting on urges to control the conditions all day long. All day long. And so that adds to the resistance, adds to the tension in the body, adds to the stress, adds to the judgment, adds to the limiting beliefs. All these things pile up. Now imagine if you could get to this point and you could say, wow, I lived this life and maybe it was haphazard where I was being loving most of the time, but reacting in a controlling way some of the time. Maybe I said something to people that they took the wrong way and they felt negative emotion. And we are trying to tell you for all of it, it's all perfect. There is no wrong in any of it. You can't see that though. You cannot see the perfection of every decision you've ever made, of every comment you've ever made, of every action you've ever taken. You're constantly judging, I acted appropriately here, but I acted inappropriately here. What will people think of me? What will I think of me? Is this who I am? What will God think of me? All these ideas, all swirling up, swirling around you, so much so that you can't even think of it because it would be overwhelming. And so if you were to have a life review from a perspective of who you truly are, the limitless, eternal, magnificent being of love that you truly are, and that you looked at these events in your life and how your actions affected other people. From that perspective, you would say that action was taken out of fear. That action was taken out of love. That action was taken out of fear. That action, and it would not be judgmental. It would just be understanding exactly what it was. In the moment that these events were happening, you may have said, well, I was just defending myself. That's perfectly acceptable behavior. But of course, that defense was based in fear. And so you were just adding to the fear of your reality. And so in your reality, which we'll say is like a big balloon, you're blowing in some love and some fear. And the fear is trapped inside that balloon. It's trapped by your judgment of yourself in all of those times that it's added to your vibration. So all the times that you thought that you acted out of fear or not in alignment with who you truly are, all of the comments or times you've honked your horn in public or gave someone a dirty look or wished people were different or thought something was wrong, all those things are added to your reality. They're in your reality now. They're in your body now. They're in your consciousness now. They're in your vibration now. What if you could release that? Release all the fear from your vibration. What if you could release all the conflict from your vibration? What if you could release all the judgment from your vibration? What if you could accept yourself as who you truly are? And in that forgiveness meditation, you are in front of a council of 12. And that council of 12 is you, forgiving you for doing everything perfectly, but you didn't understand that you were doing everything perfectly. That's the point of that meditation. Now, if you can forgive yourself, you can then forgive others. You can then live in heightened forgiveness, heightened acceptance, heightened levels of love. And by doing that, you release all the tension, you release all the inner conflict, you release all the fear, and you bring more love into your reality. Are you there yet? Maybe you are, maybe you're not. Maybe you have limiting beliefs about what forgiveness is. Maybe you believe that you don't need to be forgiven. Maybe you believe that other people did do you wrong. Maybe you believe that you acted appropriately in all those times you were acting in fear. Well, that's coming from a limited perspective. And you will not have that perspective when you become self-aware, whether that's in this lifetime or in the non-physical. When you understand who you are, that perspective will not exist because it's a limited perspective. When you realize the truth of who you are, you will look at yourself, all others, and your environment, your conditions from that high perspective of love. And you will operate absolutely with more love in a new way, with a new approach, seeing yourself as the creator and never having to act on urge to change the conditions. Is that possible in this lifetime? It doesn't matter because this is a journey of ascension. It will occur at some point. There's no rush. You have all the time in the universe, you see. So the steps that you may want to take is to contemplate how forgiveness can add to the love in your life, add to the love in your reality, add to the ascension of who you truly are, and make alignment so much easier. Does that make sense?
Yes. So it sounds like I'm thinking that I got this forgiveness down, but I really don't.
Well,
I have it.
Yes, because you only have words for what forgiveness is. Until you have the experience of authentic forgiveness for yourself, you won't understand what forgiveness truly is. And so if you can practice with that meditation, you'll get new insights because you relax your resistance to the whole idea of forgiveness. Forgiveness is tied towards social construct, social meaning. You were taught what an apple is, but until you tasted the apple, you had no reference, no context. You may have been taught what forgiveness is forgive that person. But until you actually forgave them, you had no context. And until you can forgive yourself or allow forgiveness to be given to you, you have no context. So this is an experiential thing. And it doesn't happen with a snap of the fingers. It happens over a period of time. When you are ready for it, you will have the experience. When you have the experience, all your doubts will be cast aside, because with that experience comes the true understanding of what the subject is about. Without the experience, it's just a concept. It's meaningless. So the more you practice with the idea, understanding that it's really about you forgiving yourself for anything that you thought was wrong, because you can only understand wrong from this limited perspective of self-identification as a human being. When you start to realize there is no wrong in the universe, that you need not judge yourself, nor need you judge others or your conditions, that judgment is just part of this approach to life of duality of the victim, good, bad, right, wrong, you can move towards this neutral state where you allow forgiveness to be the paintbrush that paints the interior of your reality in love. Until you have that experience, these words that we're saying have no real meaning. The way you have the experience is to think about it, be guided towards it, and do what you were inspired to do. Now, because everything in these programs is inspired, it's all coming from love, therefore it's all inspired. All the plots, all the assignments, all the reading, and all the meditations are inspired. If you act on the inspiration, you'll always be led to your highest good and the good of all others. If you choose not to act in any way by saying, I don't think that's appropriate, I don't want to do that, doesn't sound like fun, it's just fear coming from the limited perspective and is based on limiting beliefs. Address those limiting beliefs and you will reduce the intensity of that fear and you'll be able to act on more inspiration. Realize it's always fear saying, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do this, when that thing is inspired. Wonderful question.
Okay, thank you.
Excellent. Who's next?
Hi, Joshua. It's Navina.
Hi, Navina.
Can we talk about releasing physical energy, physical pain, you know, from previous injuries? I was really lucky last weekend. I met a wonderful massage therapist who does deep massage on, you know, your body that are blocked for whatever reason. And I know a few of us are going through, you know, physical issues that, you know, there's pain involved. Like, you know, for me, it's a knee. And you know, when I walk, that knee feels unstable and that knee causes pain. And I just want to make sure I focus the right way.
Excellent. So whether it's emotional pain or knee pain, the pain is there to catch your attention. Mm-hmm. Without the pain, you'd be oblivious to whatever the issue is. If it's emotional pain, it's pointing to a limiting belief. If it's physical pain, it's pointing to a limiting belief. If it's any discomfort, anything you think is wrong, anything you think is bad, anything whatsoever that is not aligned with love, it's pointing to a limiting belief. So you have a limiting belief in some area, and at first, emotional pain or negative emotional feelings will come to you when you contemplate that thing, or even when you're not contemplating it, but it's there to point out a limiting belief. And if you process the limiting belief, if you prove that the limiting belief is false, if you find evidence to prove it's false, you reduce the intensity of that limiting belief. So the next time the event happens, you will feel less intense negative emotion. And when you contemplate something you're inspired to do that triggers that limiting belief, the associated fear will be less intense. So you can push past the fear and do what you're inspired to do. So say that you've been living a certain life, having a certain beliefs, not paying attention to certain manifestation events, calling them wrong, feeling bad emotionally, and those manifestation events aren't really alerting you to the limiting belief or to the way that you're being or to the vibration you're offering. So then what happens next? Well, then it comes into the body, because it's easier to ignore emotional pain than it is physical pain for most people. So the physical pain comes into the body. Now, the physical pain could be there to say, don't walk on that knee. The knee needs a little time to rest. Whatever that physical pain may be, and it may be appropriate to go and see a doctor and have it checked out and see what's going on.
What if it comes from an injury? Like, say you have a car accident and
the car accident was the manifestation event, you see.
20, 30 years ago.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you're not addressing the problems from 20 and 30 years ago. Now, you may have been addressing them to some point, and so the only manifestation of that car accident, you're not in a wheelchair, is a pain in the knee. Now, let's imagine that you have addressed the manifestation event, you have addressed the limiting belief, you've moved towards a level of love where the pain in the knee is no longer required. Yet your belief system says that pain in the knee is tied to that car accident and there's no way to get rid of it. We're not saying this is true of you, but imagine that there is someone. Imagine there's someone who says, I had a car accident 30 years ago. I have this knee, pain in the knee. It's always going to be, there's nothing I can do about it. So then they have this limiting belief about their knee, even when they've addressed the underlying issue that caused the car accident. And so the car accident then allowed them to maybe change their life entirely. This is what happened to Gary when he was in college. He had a car accident. It allowed him to change his life entirely. And he has no noticeable pain from it. Yet when he was in a breathing session, he realized the pain was there and understood that he was just ignoring the pain the whole time. You see?
Yes.
Now, so let's imagine that you came to a new belief system about yourself being the creator of your reality, and that you can create anything that truly aligns with who you are. And so you realize that I have this pain in my knee. I was associating with it with a car accident, yet I know that I create my own reality, and I know that it is something that I do not prefer. So why is it still there? Well, it could be because your focus of attention is focused on it and causes you to notice it and causes you to feel anxiety about it and causes you to prop up limiting beliefs that it's always going to be there. Or you could accept it fully as it is and saying, whether that pain in the knee is here or not here, it's not going to affect my life whatsoever. I fully accept the pain in the knee. I know it's there for some reason, so I accept it fully. Now, you return to a state of alignment and you get an idea. Oh, how about we travel to this town this weekend? Oh, okay. So you act on that inspiration, travel to town. Oh, how about we go into this restaurant and talk to these people or meet these people? And so you go into the restaurant and meet these people. Oh, the pain in my knee is starting to hurt right now. I'm going to start talking about this pain in my knee. And they're going to say, oh, we have a wonderful massage therapist in town. You have to go and see him. And so you say, oh, I'm now ready to actually do something about this pain in my knee.
Yes.
Where before I was using it as my excuse to feel good or to feel like I'm not enough or to feel like this is the reason I can't have what I want is because of the pain in my knee. Now, we're not saying this about you. We're just saying about any possible thing that could be in the body. Why is it in the body? To alert you to the way you're being. If you argue with the pain in the knee and say, I'm not doing what I'm inspired to do because of the pain in the knee, then the pain in the knee has to stay there because it has to be your excuse while you will not move forward. If you are ready to move forward, then you'll be guided instantly and effortlessly to the remedy for that thing, whatever that may be. But if you're mind is closed off to the potential of all this, to how the system actually works. When you said you were lucky to meet a massage therapist, we laughed our asses off here in the non-physical because there is no luck. You were guided through your guide, through your inner self, through source itself to the massage therapist. There was no luck there. You simply acted on enough inspiration. And this is true of every single thing you do. There is no luck. Everything is working out perfectly if you will go with the inspiration, if you will push past your fear, if you will do the thing that's right in front of you. Mm-hmm. but yet fear will always pop up. Oh, you know, I don't know if I should go to the chiropractor. I don't know if I should go to the massage therapist. I hear those things never work. I don't know if I should take this remedy or exercise or do yoga or do all these things that are available to me. I don't think I'll like it. I'm really not inspired to do it. I don't think it's a good thing. I'm just going to sit here on the couch and moan about my knee.
But Joshua, if I face it and I go to the therapist and now it hurt, I mean, it was amazing with her. I know it's right, but now it hurts more.
Well, think about that. Think about the energy that's moving around in the knee.
Yeah.
Think about the new blood that's flowing in there. Think about the new sensitivity that's there. Think about maybe not walking on the knee while it's being healed. Mm-hmm. Maybe resting, maybe take it easy. Maybe lay on the couch, read a book, take the weekend off, let it rest, put ice on it, enjoy the knee, feel the movement of energy and see it from a higher perspective rather than a limited perspective. Maybe see it as an evolution of this new journey. Maybe find someone in town that wants to work on it. Maybe pick up a book and notice that someone's talking about some other ailment that they resolved. Maybe understanding that anything can be healed in the body, that the body's natural state is pure well-being, that there is no need for any of these things if there is no need. But there is a need, and this is why it's in your knee. Excellent.
Okay.
We have enjoyed this interaction with you, brilliant explorers. It brings us absolute joy to see how you're sifting and sorting and using this information and not using it and throwing it out the window and then bringing it up over here and having fun with it and then taking it all so seriously and then zapping around your laser beam focus on here and here and here and here and here and here, but not over there and not over there and not over there, because what would people say if I focused over here? Don't I have to do this? Don't I have to be good? You're playing with all these things. It's all fun. You can't get it wrong. There's no way you can fail. Just have fun with it and just think. If you can just think about what your inner self is thinking about, the same thing that you're looking at right now, and approach it from that perspective, well, it'll get a lot more fun. Use your focus on that which excites you and let everything else go. Everything else is good. Maybe you can't see it yet, but you could imagine how it could be good. You can use that power of your imagination to imagine that everything's going to work out for everyone over the longer term. And if you bring it all down, if you're really close to it, it's going to seem intense. But if you raise up above it, it's going to seem light and easy and joy. Now, if you're down there focused on the nitty gritty of all the stuff, having to keep all the plates spinning above your head without letting any of them fall, it's going to seem overwhelming because that's where the fear is. The fear is down there in the nitty gritty of day-to-day life. The love is in the higher perspective. And so when you ascend through alignment, out of that fear and start to use your powers of awareness to see everything from this higher perspective of love, you'll ascend out of that fear and it'll be easier and easier and easier. It's like a muscle that you're exercising, that you're working out. It'll grow stronger. It'll grow so easy that it'll be hard to be brought back down into the fear. Because the second that anyone wants to bring you down into the fear, you'll say, no, 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 that's just the illusion. That doesn't make, don't worry about it. It's going to work out. You're just down there being overwhelmed. Up here, you can see clearly, and there's no need to get overwhelmed. And so this is what we appreciate about you, because you are all thinking about these things from a higher perspective and all playing the game in a new way. And it's so interesting to see from our perspective, because the entire planet is moving towards where you are at some point. But you've all come here first. You are on the tip of the spear. And you're actually braving a trail for everyone else to follow you. You are creating inroads with your thought process and adding to the collective consciousness. You can't see it, but you can imagine it. If you can imagine that every time that you face a fear and chose a different reaction, that you help mass consciousness do the same thing, because you add to that conscious thoughts that are available to everyone else. Imagine that for most of humanity that's living in fear, when someone has an experience, they have access to all the thoughts that have ever been thought before by humans going through the same thing. And so there's 100 possible thoughts that could come to someone who's involved in some manifestation event. You have a manifestation event, you choose a new way of reacting to it, you see it from a higher perspective, and you add that thought in amongst that 100, except your thought's based in love. And all those other thoughts are based in fear. Guess which has the most energy? You have more energy in your one thought than all those thoughts combined, by far. And so this is the benefit of you choosing a new approach to life, you choosing a new reaction to things that are happening to you. You are blazing trails and adding to what's possible for everyone else. And this is how you serve. And with that, we are complete.
Awesome.
Wonderful questions. Thank you.
Gary. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Great questions.
Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you all.
Have a wonderful week.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.